Now, I'm going to have some helpers for our scripture passage for today. In light of the fact that Pam is providing the sermon, I have invited some Lancaster Mennonite students to come and read the scripture. So come on up, those of you who know who you are. And an employee, not just a student, but an employee. And Luke is going to start with our NRSV version, and then we have a total of six different versions of this same passage.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Don't live the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
No se amolden al mundo actual, sino sean transformados mediante la renovación de su mente. Así podrán comprobar cuál es la voluntad de Dios, buena, agradable y perfecta.
Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect.
Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
Blessings to you, Pam.
So good morning, all. Thanks for students and all of you who were reading. What we didn't say is that this verse about being transformed is our theme for the year and used in classrooms and chapel. So it is with that in mind, and a lot of what I want to share, that it is about being transformed and what happens in Mennonite education, but happens in any education. I would also say that today for one, I'm going to say this is the first time I've had to do a sermon, so bear with me. I've given lots of school updates across the country, and Randy is a persuasive man. So bear with me. And much of this message is going to be about my personal story and what has happened in Mennonite education in my life and my children. And then the second part will be about our relationship between church and school. So it might not fit exactly what we are hoping for, but after this morning's conversation in Sunday school, I wish I'd had some of that dialogue in my head as I was preparing. So one other side note I'd like to give is that while I am a strong proponent of Mennonite education, I'm also a believer in all forms of education, be it our public school or other private school counterparts. And so I hope today that you would not take anything offensively. I think there are great teachers in those schools as well, and lives are always transformed by the teachers. So with that, here we go. The first portion will be about my formative years in Freeman. So I have to transport you there a little bit. If I'd have had my act together completely, I would have had some pictures for you, but not to be. Small community, Freeman, South Dakota, about 1,200 students in southeastern South Dakota, very close to the Nebraska-Iowa-Minnesota border. So Mount Rushmore is on the other end of the state, most of what we're known for. Freeman being a very small, unique town, a very thriving town, particularly my growing up years, with a dairy plant that processed powdered milk and a healthcare system with a clinic, hospital, and skilled nursing care facilities. So today, still relatively thriving in a Midwestern setting. When I was growing up, there were a variety of school options. There was a Lutheran school, grades 1 through 8. There was a Mennonite school, Freeman Academy, that started at the high school level and then went on into junior college, and then the public school setting. So we were fortunate and had options. There was a significant amount of divisiveness, particularly between the Mennonite, Freeman Academy, junior college, and the public school setting. And I have likened that much to what I've experienced in this area between churches and conferences. In our case, the educational differences ran deep and were not particularly healthy. When I was in elementary school, we started to divide. So those of us who knew we'd be going off to Mennonite school in high school and those who would be headed for the public system, we sort of formed groups. It's not that we didn't cross, but it was not uncommon for us to throw comments back and forth. My particular class, we were at least half, so we were not necessarily a minority group in my class, but a lot of us left as we became freshmen. So all my elementary years were in public school, with even one of those years being in a one-room country schoolhouse, grades 1 through 8. But by middle school, my situation was changing a bit. I was particularly good at sports, and I had teachers who were public school teachers who were starting to say, you don't want to go over there, do you? I had a good group of girls, exceptional athletes in the class ahead of me who I was already participating with. And by eighth grade, I had grand aspirations. I had hopes and dreams to be involved in the Olympics someday. When I went home and shared that, you know, I'd really sort of like to stay at the high school for my education, I remember vividly at the dinner table my father saying, no, I don't think so. So it was off to the academy I went, somewhat begrudgingly, my freshman year. I had a great group of classmates and friends, so that wasn't a particular issue. It was me adjusting my hopes and dreams just a bit. So over time, my athletic aspirations were about becoming the best I could personally, and what I could do to make the sports teams there just a little bit more respected and competitive. Freeman Academy is known for, and I'll speak primarily to that today, is known for its quality music programs, academic excellence, but not so much for its sports. Russian Mennonites came to the U.S. in the late 1800s with a European influence, especially in the liberal arts and emphasis on strong education, music education, and they wanted their children to expand their educational experience. So it is that you have a Mennonite school with a junior college in a very small town on the Dakota prairies. Freeman Academy and Junior College were started in 1903 and provided local public school teachers and church leaders for local congregations. It is a community of farmers with advanced degrees and oftentimes in music. So I was always a bit out of my element being in the sports arena. High school was relatively uneventful, as I was hyper-focused on athletics, and I'd say there was little spiritual transformation. I was maybe a late bloomer in that, and always particularly quiet about that. Bible class and chapel had maybe little impact, but there was one teacher that had a significant influence on me. This teacher was our senior advisor and my history teacher, and he handled a senior prank that I was involved in that went too far. There's a whole nother sermon and story on that one. Sometimes being a superintendent, principal, whatever, head of school, one maybe has a little bit of understanding when some of these things happen. At any rate, this particular teacher had an influence on me because he had a new way of handling discipline for our entire class that was involved as we headed off for our senior skip. And that teacher had everything to do with me becoming a history teacher and an administrator over the years. So recognize the seeds that were planted, particularly during a wrong choice of action during high school. So my first teaching experience was at Freeman Academy, in social studies and PE and doing some coaching. I taught for about 3 years with students before staying home on the farm and starting a family. I didn't even expect to go back to teaching. We had a large dairy farm. We were milking about 300 cows, and there were three little kids under the age of five. So life was particularly busy. So it's becoming a mother that really brought the most spiritual transformation. The questions one asks themselves as you face parenthood are many, or at least there were for me. I wanted them to bloom into who they were meant to be, but I worried about them and for them. All the what-if questions of what could happen in their lives. I was reducing everything then to a bottom line. What makes, if there's one thing I want for my children, what would it be? And it was, I wanted them to have that relationship with Jesus. So, Mennonite education would also be an expectation for my children. And none of them would question it the way I did. Freeman Junior College closed in the late 80s, but Freeman Academy remained, and then in the subsequent years through the 90s, they would have opened elementary grades. So by the time my kids were old enough to go, they could start at the academy by the fifth grade and then go on through high school. So I'd been home at that point for about 8 years with my kids, and the Freeman Academy principal calls one day. It's 2 or 3 days before the new start of school year, and they had just hired a science teacher that bailed. Would I come and sub until they hired a new one? My teaching license had expired. Again, hadn't intended to go back. And a short term, just teach until we hire someone, turned into an entire full year. And if you remember, I was trained in social studies and PE, not science. It was a great year. I'm not sure how much science, but we tried. At any rate, I was bit by the bug, and I loved the students, and it was a desire to go back. The next year, I was back at home on the farm, milking cows, doing the usual, and renewed my teaching license during that time. And the following year, then, became social studies teacher coach at the academy after 9 years of just being on the farm. So after a few years of teaching, life began to unravel. Again, three little kids, a large dairy farm, church responsibilities, full-time teaching and coaching year-round, and the marriage failed. The school community became even more important for me and my kids. It was another season for personal and spiritual growth. I've kept that a short paragraph. Again, much that goes into all of that. I taught another year or two at Freeman Academy before moving on to taking a position at Lincoln High School in Sioux Falls. This is a large public high school of 1,800 students. Sioux Falls is about 50 miles to the east of where Freeman is at. My children remained in at Freeman Academy, and I would commute daily an hour each way. I thought public school would be a chance for me to share my faith perspective and be an example in a public classroom. But I couldn't talk about God or Jesus unless the students brought it up. And I have to admit, I'm surprised at how frequently it did come up. I was teaching psychology, sociology, so mostly advanced students and elective students, and then a few classes of world history. And so it was often that I wanted to interject my faith or a different perspective and couldn't. So I was there for 5 years and finished an administrative degree during that time. Also during that time, I was asked to fill a position on the academy board. And during that first year of service, they had an administrator change. I, as a board member, was helping to rewrite the job description when a few people started to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Would you consider?" Another time of great soul searching and prayer, both for myself and probably the search committee. It's one of those things that I had been there already a number of times, and do I really want to go back to my home school? At this point, my kids are a bit older. My oldest, who always expanded my life experience as a parent, had graduated from the academy. He was just finishing as I was going to be coming back on as principal, head of school. He was headed for South Dakota State University. And he called home from orientation one day, and he says, "I'm not at the academy anymore." Professors had used profanity, and he was intrigued by this new environment. And I was ready to let him fly. He'd had grades 5 to 12 in Mennonite education. He knew right from wrong. He knew the difference. And I thought he was ready for what he was about to encounter. I had not encouraged. I wanted my children to go wherever it suited them best, and I had not encouraged Mennonite higher ed, a decision I would later regret. A couple years later, my second son, also ready to go off to college, with gifts in music and drama, was being recruited at Bethel College in Kansas. He did end up going there, and then I learned firsthand what Mennonite higher ed do for students compared to public universities. My boys couldn't be more polar opposite. Mennonite higher ed may not have been a fit for my oldest child, but I really appreciated what Bethel did for my second son, and then my daughter also attended there. The Mennonite values that helped them form their own faith as they launched into adulthood was pretty amazing. So I'm going to pause there. I've entered administration. My kids are off to college. So the personal transformation of Mennonite education has been critical to who we are as a family. So I want to shift a bit. And let's look at what was the original purpose of our Mennonite schools or Mennonite education. What were our founding fathers thinking when they established Mennonite schools? If you read the history books for our Mennonite schools, many of these schools in the Mennonite church in this part of the country, started by the church conferences, were started in response to World War II. While General Conference or Russian Mennonite schools were started earlier, they would have had a similar peace emphasis even around World War I. So it was a call to peace that many of our schools were started. And it was so that students learned we don't want you to pick up arms. There is an alternative to war, especially as young men face the draft. Peace remains one of our core values in Mennonite schools, but it seems there's a shift in how we address it. We don't talk about the draft much anymore. In fact, I'm not sure if our students even really know what it's about. As an example today, though, I have watched transformation of students, and just a couple of brief examples. I had a student who came out of a large urban setting where he did not feel safe and had carried a knife to school daily and landed in one of our schools because of a grandparent who thought this might be a good alternative. And watching the dramatic transformation of that student being in a safe environment, and the result of learning with teachers and other students around him. Just being surrounded by love in a community makes a difference. There's also the example that we use restorative justice. And so when students sometimes make poor choices, and we can't do this in all cases, we have restorative justice circles. Teachers, coaches, parents, administrators, friends all sit in the circle with those who made the poor choice. It's a really vulnerable time. And we only want to see relationship restored. It's not that we don't address consequences, but we work at restoring that student to the community. So just a couple of examples of how peace works differently in our schools, maybe today. So what happened to the importance of Mennonite schools and the relationship with the church or the founding conference? Time and variables have separated us. So this is purely my own observation, and simply observation, not a criticism. There is no longer the urgency of a draft that young people face, forcing them to make serious life-changing decisions at a young age. Media influences us about material things that we should have or that should be important in our lives. There are increased church pressures. You've got to be fair to all students in the congregation, regardless of public or private school settings. There are many social issues and nonprofits that the church has to focus on compared to the 1940s. Or perhaps church and school no longer agree on theological points. Over time, churches and schools have been reduced to a financial arrangement, schools expecting support. Many of our Lancaster Mennonite schools, our students don't attend church. So as church attendance dwindles, we have a separation of church and school, which reduces our school's network for support. So how can we reestablish this meaningful church and school relationship? And again, some things touched on in Sunday school this morning. And these are just a few things that came to my mind, and there's probably a whole slew of others that you will think of. So it's a community effort to raise children. It's not just a school thing. Yes, there's academics that happen in classrooms, but it takes an entire community to raise children. So here's a few thoughts of where we might intersect. Lancaster Mennonite is open to ethnic, racial, and socioeconomic diversity, but we are challenged with expanding our perspectives. While we mean well, we struggle to really integrate. At LMS, we've had 2 years of anti-racism training, but many of our misunderstandings are rooted in subliminal patterns that we don't even recognize. We have no idea what it's like for the other. So we're only beginning to scratch the surface of transformation. What would it be like if church and school combined efforts in training children and adults, a little bit like was said here this morning in the story time? Young people's minds are absorbing so much quicker than some of the rest of us. We both currently work at these issues. I hear the discussion in Sunday school. We talk about it in school, and yet we don't even really very often come together to try and tackle those issues. Leadership opportunities. How could church and school team up to offer more leadership development, starting in the earlier grades? Are young people part of making choices about worship and decision-making in the congregation? And they might be, because I don't know how all things happen here at Whitmer. Do we ask them what is meaningful to their spiritual development or educational experience? And I know that we frequently, almost always, leave them out of that discussion at school. The power of a church member or a teacher telling a student what gifts they see in them is a powerful affirmation. You recently saw this with Mia Swartley, who was encouraged at EMU to take the summer internship program here at Whitmer. And I think Randy was a part of those back in your day as well. My second son was also asked to do the same. And after much soul searching, he decided not to. But I know that in that time frame, there was subtle transformation. Seeds planted, divine intervention at work. At Lancaster Mennonite, we know that young families have different focuses than we have in the past. They're focused on earth sustainability. They're focused on food quality, social justice issues, and are passionate and active about these issues. Are these areas where church and school can support each other? I'm not suggesting we abandon church, but what will it look like in the future? In school, we are changing to a more experiential learning, problem-solving platform. What does that look like in church? I really have more questions than answers. I do see lives transformed in students. Could church and school consider new partnerships and efforts to cast a wider net? There are already many good things happening here and at Lancaster Mennonite, and where could we go next? So just a small review. I stand before you a product of Mennonite education, someone who did not want to go, and sometimes resentful in high school. There are seasons of difficulty, change, and transformation in each of our lives. I'm extremely grateful for the values of peace and service and community in Mennonite education. It truly transforms. At Lancaster Mennonite, we are finding new ways to articulate these values today. Jesus exemplified alternatives to violence. Our environment looks different than it did in the early 1940s when Lancaster Mennonite was established. Students today might not experience the draft, but the use of drugs, social pressures, family units look different, and expectations are a whole different challenge. Mennonite schools practice restoring relationships in community, using respectful dialogue, developing conflict resolution skills, learning to serve and support one another, in addition to our academics. It's a holistic approach to learning and life. It's messy work. And I think we got to that point in Sunday school today. To walk alongside each other. None of us are perfect, but it is a fulfilling and rewarding experience. God plants seeds and nurtures them in his own time. So, Whitmer, I need to say thank you for your support and attention to Mennonite schools, to Lancaster Mennonite specifically. I see you being attentive here to students and families in the most nurturing of ways. We are all in this process of being transformed as individuals and institutions. So let's not limit what God has in store for us. Ephesians 3:20 from the Message says it's this way. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So Whitmer Heights, may God continue to inspire you and Lancaster Mennonite and all of our other Mennonite eds in new ways of learning and serving. Amen.